Job chapter 7, verse 1. Everybody got Job? Miss Hendy's not up on her Bible reading. She's still looking. Job chapter 7, verse 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed unto me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I rise, and the night be gone, and I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach. And I pray an unction to preach. I pray, oh God, that you would bless the reading, the preaching, the teaching of thy word. And help us, oh God, young and old, to realize the brevity of life, the certainty of death, and all the toils between the two. I pray, Lord God, may the message be real to us this morning. Speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In James chapter 4, the Bible said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Is even a vapor that appeareth for a little season and then vanisheth away. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 said, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof faileth away. Well, it's not a promise and forecast for life, is it? Sounds like gloom and doom. Sounds like no matter what you do, your life's soon going to be over. I was watching some little children a couple weeks ago, running to and fro and playing, just having the time of their life, absolutely without care, without thought. Everything's provided for them. Everything they need is given to them. They were running around, their little pink, shiny faces and firm skin. And you could just see the youth and the vitality in them. Their skin is not thin and transparent like mine. you know how that baby skin is. I'm a little young, and 2-3 years old. They're just, everything about them is lovely, you know. Even ugly kids are lovely, the honest truth, you know. There's just something about youngins and their innocence that just, it's just wonderful. And I thought, well, it won't be no time, and they'll be ragged old men like me. I don't know what will happen to them between where they're at and that time when they stare death in the face. Maybe they'll have a good life and see good things and prosper and rejoice in life when they'll get to the end and they say, it's been a good life. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they'll end up broken, ruined, full of sadness and sorrow. And maybe some point they may regret that they were ever born. I hope not, but the truth is a lot of folks end up that way. Some end up, life's been a joy ride and a blessing to them. Not many, but some. Some end up, their life's been a tragedy and they all but wish it had never happened. Not many, but some. The truth is, the vast majority of us are somewhere between those two extremes. The vast majority of us have sunshine and rain. We have good and bad. And one day we're on the mountaintop, and maybe the next we're in the valley, but we don't spend our whole life in one or the other. We kind of alternate back and forth. It's just kind of a roller coaster ride. That's the way life is. And you say, well, boy, everything's going my way. Man, I got it made right now. Well, just hang on. It'll get all messed up. Don't worry about it. Just remember, when you're down in the valley, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up, because you won't stay there long either. But no matter how it goes, whether your life is just blessed, or if your life is a tragedy written by Macbeth, like Macbeth, or if your life is, like most people, ups and downs, good and bad, regardless of how your life goes, here's a truth you can't get away from. It'll soon be over. And when you get to the end, you, I, like everybody that has preceded us, and like everybody who will follow after us, will wonder this: where'd he go? Where did it go? How could it have passed by so quickly? How could I have gotten so little done in the time that I had? I preached a message, it hadn't been too long ago, kind of on this same thing, but when?
Last week?
Well, I guess I'm in a rut. That's the way it goes. At my age, you forget those things, you know. One of the things that goes is the mind. But anyway, the brevity of life, I wish I could impress it on every heart and every mind in this place. And if I preach on it last week and this week, maybe I'll preach on it again next week until some light of recognition and understanding comes on in the deep, dark recesses of our infertile brain. Children, young people think that they have forever. I've heard people audaciously say, I've got my whole life before me. Well, that may be over tomorrow. Go out in the graveyard and walk around. Born 1893, died 1967. Born 1967, died 1968. They'll balance out. And there's about as many people out there, 20 and 25 and 30, as there are 80 and 90. You got no guarantee on life. The only guarantee you got is that before you know it, it'll be over. So I thought this morning, since life is short, let's see, this is not going to be a repeat of last week. Okay. Worst critic in the world right there, buddy. If I please her, I know everybody else was happy. I thought, thinking along those lines, because life is so short, there's some things that I need to do. And I need to get them done right now. I mean, I don't have any time to waste. And when you get up around Tommy's age and Henry's age, y'all better get on the sticks. And I mean, you better put a wiggle in it. Because y'all run out of time. Yeah. Now, if you as young as myself, Brother Lewis, maybe you have some reason to think you have a little longer. But that's a false lead and a false hope. I can't remember. I don't know how I got to 64 as quickly as I did. But whatever time I have left, and I hope I have some time left, I hope it's not over today. I enjoy living. People say, oh, I just want to die and go on and be with the Lord. Well, I do too. When dying time comes, I just hope it ain't now. I like living. I like my life. I like my wife. I like our home. I like my church. I like my Christian friends. I enjoy living. Amen. Now, I know we've got problems, and the government makes me sick, and I could spend all night retching over the mess that we're in. But, well, God's been good. Amen. And the goodest thing is I'm still here. I'm still kicking. And, well, whatever time I have left, there's some things I'd like to get done. Let me give them to you as quickly as I can, because I got 13 of them, and I'm not sure we'll get them all done. I tried that one-point message, and that didn't work. That was a fiasco. We just had 1 hour and 15-minute point instead of 13 points in an hour and 15 minutes. Number one, because life is short, that's the title of the message if you write those things down. Because life is short, I will love with my whole heart. You ever hear people say, give me the roses while I live? You ever see people who are sad and brokenhearted? There were things they could have done. They could have manifested their love. They could have demonstrated their love, but they didn't. They were too busy, or they were too selfish, or they were too stingy, or whatever it was. But the premise that allowed them to do that was, I got time. We're going to do that one of these days. We'll do that when we get around to it. We'll do that when we get this much money put away, or when we get to where we have a certain amount of security. Listen, babe, in this life there's no such thing as security. There's no such thing, because there's no guarantee on nothing. But for whatever reason, instead of showing the love and demonstrating the love to people they're supposed to love and profess to love, they're always preoccupied. They always have a reason why they can't do that. And then when life is over, they always end up regretting it. Oh, if I had just known it was going to be so quick, I'd have done this and I'd have done that. And if I'd have known it was going to happen this soon, I would have told him, I would have told her how much I love him. And we weep and cry and lament because the opportunity we had to love and to love wholeheartedly has slipped by us and we didn't get it done. And now we live in guilt and shame and sorrow, wishing we had taken the opportunity that God Almighty gave us and done something with it to let the people in our lives know, I love you. Now, by the grace of God, the folks that I love, I want them to know that I love them. I don't want to slip into my grave 15, 20, 30, 50 years from now and have to think on my dying bed, boy, I wish I'd have told her I loved her. I wish somehow I'd have showed her that I love her. I wish I'd told my kids, my grandkids. I wish I could have shown them in some tangible way that Pa really cared for them. I'm not going to let, by God's grace, I'm not going to let this opportunity I have slip away. Amen? I want to tell my wife every day, matter of fact, I tell her about 100 times a day, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I even love loving you. My love's got love for you. And then I try to demonstrate it. I try to take as good a care of her as I can. I try to take every opportunity to do little things for her that say, I love you. Amen? Now, most of us do the big things, but it's the little things that make folks feel special in your life. The little things that you do for them where you had to think about it for a little while, where you had to put some thought in it, where you went out of your way a little bit to demonstrate, I love you. Y'all with me? I love it when I do some little thing. It don't have to be no big thing. Yesterday, I'll just tell this story. I went and played golf yesterday, and it was a tragedy. I should have stayed home with my lovely wife. But I went and played golf, and I came home, and I do that pretty much every Saturday, unless something gets in the way. And as soon as I get home, we get cleaned up, and I take my wife out, and we go messing around. No agenda, we just go here, go there. I say, where do you want to go? Yesterday, she wanted to go to this consignment store and look at stuff. And went up there, and she hit the jackpot. And so I bought her this. It's a black sweater with this gold sequin stuff all up. Oh, man, she looked sharp in that thing. And so I bought that thing for her. But we was in Belk's, one of them big old stores in the mall. And I'm going through there, and they got all this really tacky, junky jewelry stuff. Y'all seen it? Where they got them tables, and they got all kind of stuff on it. And it's usually $49.95, but they had got it on sale today for just $15. I'm looking down through there, and here's this little necklace with this onyx or something. I don't know what it was. Some plastic. So crass. Anyway, it's got this little black thing in the middle and a little earrings that go with it. But it's made to look antique-y and old. I bought it. Now, y'all know my wife ain't wearing it. You know that, right? If it ain't real and it ain't gold, she ain't putting it on. She don't own no costume jewelry. That's why I don't have no savings. No. I wasn't buying it for her, though. I got this beautiful granddaughter. And I just saw that, and I thought, she wears cheap, tacky stuff. She's just like her mama. I said, this would really look good on her. And so I bought it, and I took it to her. She wasn't home. I dropped it off. Man, about 9:30, 10 o'clock last night, my phone rang. And I went over and picked it up, and there's my granddaughter. And she's just so excited, and she's just so bubbly, and she's telling me how pretty it is and how much she likes it. And she's going to wear it to church today because it goes with this brand new pair of shoes she bought for herself yesterday. She said, I love you. Oh, man, I'm going back to that store and get two more. Somebody, y'all with me now? We're on the same page here? You got to let folks know you love them now. I don't want to wait till I'm laying there 85, 90, 115, 125 on my deathbed, and everybody's holding an old man, old pawpaw's wrinkled old hand, and I'm saying, I always wanted to tell you how much I love you. And they're going, yeah, right. How long are you going to hang on, you old goat? I want them to love me. I want them to miss me. I want them to care when I go. I want to love them, and I want to be loved back. And I don't want to wait till it's too late, doggone it. I want to enjoy it right now. I like them little things. I liked it when that phone rang last night, and I heard that little giggly voice on the other end. Man, I tell you what, you got them grand youngins, and you don't like that kind of stuff, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. Because life is short, I'm going to love with my whole heart. The Bible said in 1 John 3:23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. I just don't know how you could love God like you're supposed to love God and not love your wife and love your children and love your grandchildren. And maybe even some of the people you work for. Why is it so hard to love? Now, I hear liberals and stuff all the time talking about love, love, love. And what they're talking about is excusing sin. They're talking about not being judgmental about things that are wrong. When they say love, that means that you're supposed to just put up with anything and everything that anybody and everybody does and not say anything about it. That's not love. Amen. Amen. I believe in love. I believe in tough love. Amen. Matter of fact, I believe if you love somebody, there's something you don't let them get away with. If you really love them, you haul them in and rein them in, and you make them stand on their 2 feet, and you make them responsible for what they've done. If you don't love them, just let them go, and they'll just get worse and worse till they end up in real trouble. Because life is short. I'm going to love with my whole heart. I ain't going to hold nothing back. Say, well, if you do that, you know you're liable to get hurt. Yeah, you're probably right. Now, my wife has never disappointed me in 46 years. This is a God's honest truth. I cannot remember a time my wife has ever let me down or disappointed me. But she's the only person on this planet I can say that about. My children have disappointed me. My grandchildren have disappointed me. My church members have disappointed me. If I cry out loud, I have disappointed myself. Man, I had high expectations and standards for myself, and I just have not always been able to live up to them. Amen? What did I say that for? I don't know. Yeah, thank you. Now, if you love with your whole heart, you put yourself at risk. But if you don't love with your whole heart, you miss out. You can't throttle love back. You can't rein it in. You can't control it. It's either there or it ain't. So if I have to take a shot, if I have to take risk, I'll just take the risk. I've been hurt before. Let me tell you what I found out about getting hurt. You can get over it. You can get over it. It's, oh, my life is ruined. I just, you know, I can't go on. Sure you can, stupid. Get up off your big, fat, lazy butt and move it on. Number two, I got to hurry. I only got 20 minutes and 12 points. Because life is short, I'll love with my whole heart. Because life is short, I'll give till it feels good. You ever hear people say, well, you know, especially preachers, you know, say, no, you need to give till it hurts. No. If it's hurting you, keep it in your pocket. Give till it feels good. Give till you feel that God is satisfied with what you're giving. Amen? Now, since our budget is way down and we've had to cut our monthly budget somewhat, I'll speak on that for a minute. We need you to give. Get off your wallet. The Bible said, God loveth a cheerful giver, and the preacher loveth a bountiful giver. There's some things we need to do, things we have to pay for. We don't have a budget for this and a budget for that and a budget for the other thing. We've got one budget. We don't have an account for this and an account for that and an account for something else. We've got one account. Everything comes out of it. And if you don't give, we don't do. Amen. But now, aside from that, there's a lot of giving that we need to practice besides just giving the tithes and the offerings. Now, I'm in favor of that. But there's a lot of people out there that we could give some time to. There are some endeavors, there are some ministries out there that we could give some time to. There are some people out there that you could give some of your money to. There's a lot of folks out there you could give some of your love to. Amen? How do we know we love God? Well, I know you don't love God if you don't love your fellow man. Because God so loved the world. Amen? And God manifests his love in two ways. He manifests it through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he manifests it through his people. Christ lives in us, and the Christ that the world's going to see has to come through us. And I know that giving never got anybody saved, but I know that giving helped a lot of people. I know that giving opened a lot of doors that would not have been opened. And I know that giving is obedience to the commandment of God. Amen. And buddy, when you see folks that need something, you ought to help them. If it's within your power to give, give. You say, well, you know, the only reason they in that mess, they done it to themselves. Well, who didn't know that? Every mess I was ever in my life, I got in it myself. Sure, people messed their lives up. Sure, people did stupid things. Sure, they made bad decisions. You made some yourself along the way. Thank God you managed to work yours out, or God blessed, or whatever, and you got through it okay, and they didn't. Is that a reason not to help them? If God gave you the wherewithal and you have to give, then give. If you can give of your time, fine. If you can give of your money, fine. If you can give of both of them, come to my house. Because life is short, I'm going to give till it feels good. Acts 20:35 said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Romans 12:8 said, he that giveth, let him giveth with simplicity. Don't need to make a big deal out of it, make a big production out of it. Just do it. If you have the opportunity, you ain't got to run around and brag about everybody and let them know what all you've done and what a wonderful, generous person you are. Just do it. The one that counts saw it, believe me. Amen. If you did it, God noted it. If you give a drink of cold water to a child or a prophet in a prophet's name, you shall receive a prophet's reward. God doesn't miss a thing, son. Amen. Number three. I wish I had more time on. I could probably make just about a message on each one of these, but who wants 13 weeks of this? Number three. Because life is short, I will walk circumspectly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. You see, I've got, what is that little ugly girl that comes on TV, got them commercials? She said, I've got this one life and this one body, and she takes that Boniva. Yeah, whatever her name is, homely little thing. Girl, ugly. But I agree with her about one thing. I got this one life. One life. I want to count for something. So I want to walk circumspectly, as wise and not as fools. You see, if I got any wisdom about me and I know I got one life, I know that as far as the world's concerned, I'm going to have somewhere close to 0.0 impact. Yet, these little microcosms within the world system, I'm in one of those, and I will impact some lives. Some people will see me and hear me and behold me. And I will be a help and a blessing, or I will be a problem or a thorn in the flesh. I can influence people for good. I can influence people for ill. I can influence folks for God, or I can influence folks away from God. So I want to walk as a wise man. Now, I'm saved by God's grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, indwelt by His Holy Spirit, sealed under the day of redemption. I'm adopted into His family. I'm a child of the King. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, you know what my heart's desire is? I want everybody I know and everybody I see to be a child of the King. I want to give them, get saved and born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, quickened by His Holy Spirit, made into a lively stone, adopted into His family. Now, that means if I want that to happen, I cannot have anything in my life that would hinder that from happening. I've got to watch what I say. I got to watch how I say it. I got to watch where I go. I got to watch what I wear. I got to watch what I watch. I got to watch what I listen to. I'm trying to make an impression on people. Say, I don't care what folks think. I care what folks think, because it determines whether they'll listen to me. It decides whether I will have any influence for God or not. And I don't want you to die in hell because I was careless or callous and did not care. I want to work circumspectly. I want to have some wisdom about it. And I want to say, if doing this would adversely influence Tommy Stewart and he'll die and go to hell because of it, I will do it. And I don't want to say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it, and I don't care whether he does or not. I've got liberty. Bless God, use not your liberty has a license. Amen. I want to walk circumspectly. I want to look around and see, if I do this, will it damage my image? Will it damage my power? Will it damage my testimony for Jesus Christ? And if it will, I don't want to do it. I don't care whether I got liberty or not. The love of Christ does what? Constraineth us. The love of Christ keeps us back from some things. Because life is short, I love with my whole heart. I give it a hurt. It feels good. I'll walk circumspectly. Because life is short, I will pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible said, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean you got to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because then you wouldn't get nothing else done, and you'd probably get killed crossing the highway. It means don't give up the practice of prayer. You ought to have a prayer time of a morning or at lunchtime or in the evening or sometime. You ought to pray on a consistent, regular basis. You ought to find a place where you can get and pray your heart. And people say, well, you know, I just pray laying in bed. Yeah, I tried that too, man. I'll tell you what, some of the sweetest sleep I ever had was when I was trying to pray. I'm telling you, the devil get right in there and put you out like a light. If you ever need a count sheet, just try to pray. You'd be joint, son. You think I'm lying? Try it. Amen. People say, well, you know, I get down, I put a pillow under my knees, and I get comfortable. Don't do that either. Find some place where it's either too hot or too cold, and it's uncomfortable. I'm telling you, son, you got to have something to make you squirm and twitch and mess around to keep your mind focused. If you get relaxed and get at ease, you either go to sleep or you get to daydreaming or the devil puts some ugly thought in your brain. Amen? I'm telling you, find you someplace and it's cold in there. And then you got to pray to work up some heat. Or it's hot in there and you got to pray to hurry and get out. But pray. Pray every day. By the way, it won't hurt you to pray as a family. Amen. What was that sign I saw a while back? It said the family that has a family altar is a family that's altered. Something like that. There's a lot of truth in that. Amen. Get up a few minutes early every morning and go in and have a little prayer time. Read the Bible with your wife or your husband before y'all take off for the day. Amen? It won't hurt you. My wife and I get up a few minutes early every single morning and I read the Bible to the two of us, and then she prays one day and I pray the next day, and we try to get the day off to a good start. Now, that's not relieving you of your prayer time. That's just family time. You still need time to get off someplace by yourself and spend 20, 30, 45 minutes praying and 30 or 45 minutes every day reading your Bible. Amen. But because time is short, I'm going to pray without ceasing. Listen, people say, well, I just don't have enough to pray about. I don't know what's wrong with you. Come see me. I help you make a list. Lord God in heaven, there's enough stuff to pray about to keep everybody in this room busy till Jesus comes. Amen. You got Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Reed and Chris Dodd and Barney Frank in Washington, D.C., managing your money and taking over private enterprise and nationalizing the bank, and you ain't got nothing to pray about. There's something bad wrong with you, son. America's going to hell in a handbasket and you got nothing to pray about? You're insane what you are. You spend all day long just praying for the rulers that you might lead quiet and peaceable lives. How many folks we got in this church? Every one of them needs for them. John came in this morning, said, boy, you must have really been praying for me this week. Said, everything's been going really good. I said, no, just standard stuff. Nothing special, John. You know, I'm so close. You know, nothing special to get. Well, I wish that was the living truth. Amen. I read a story one time about this old man. He was known as a prayer warrior. And boy, he really had power with God. And he was getting on up in years. And this young preacher boy wanted to find out. He wanted to hear this man pray and find out how it was this guy had so much power with God. And so he snuck into his room and he got under the old man's bed. And the old man came in that night and took his bath and put on his robe and put his little hat on his head. And he got down beside of his bed and he put his hands up just like a little three-year-old kid, you know. And he bowed his head and he closed his eyes. And that kid's laying there and he's listening. He wants to hear this old man get a hold of God. And the old man said, "Lord, everything's the same between me and you as it was this morning. Amen." And he got up and went to bed. I said, "Oh, what a blessing if you could live like that, so that everything was the same between you and God tonight as it was this morning. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?" I'm afraid I must confess I have to pray more than that. Because life is short, I will not grow weary in well-doing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 said, "For consider him that hath endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 3:18, "Brethren, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season thou shalt reap if you faint not." You know something? Sometimes Christians just get tired, they grow weary, and they just quit. "Well, we used to go to church, and I really used to enjoy the preaching, and blah, 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 blah." I hate all them used to's. Because that means you're talking to somebody that's not. They've quit. For whatever reason, they just, and sometimes it's because they got mad at somebody, or they didn't like the preacher, or somebody, you know. It's amazing when you're tired of coming to church, what little things you will allow to get under your skin. When you first got saved, and boy, you was excited about being a child of the King, and glory to God, you were shouting the victory, and God was real in your heart. I don't care what people did, you overlooked it. It wasn't no big deal. You know, they just sinners saved by grace, and Lord bless them and help them to grow in grace and knowledge. Well, after you've been saved a few years, and you've gotten your life all straight, and you're right with God, and then some simpleton comes along and doesn't show you proper respect, or they slight you, you know, and they ought to know how godly you are. Look how long I've been saved. And you're offended. Or the preacher uses bad grammar from the pulpit. "Oh, I had a visitor there this morning. Did you hear what he said? He said, 'Born again.' I was just humiliated." Until you quit. Listen, I'm not going to grow weary of serving God. Now, I made up my mind. I don't know how you work. I don't know what you think about. I don't know how you look at things. But sometimes, you know, you ought to get off to yourself and think about some things and get some things settled. Amen? Now, some years ago, a good many years ago now, I got some things fixed in my heart and in my mind. And by the grace of God, I'm going to do them till my dying day. I made up my mind I was going to stay in love with my wife, and I was going to stay with my wife come hell or high water. Amen? Whether it's hard or easy or whatever, I'm sticking. I'm not quitting. I am not going to cut and run. I said, "Till death do we part, for better, for worse, in sickness and health." And blessed be God, I took that oath before God Almighty, and I'm going to keep that thing. Amen. But I made up my mind, I'm not going to let our love grow cold. I'm not going to live in a house with a stranger. I'm not going to live with somebody where I'm going one way and she's going another. And so I have purposed in my heart to do everything I can to stay in love with her and make her love me. I'm serious. I work at it every day. It is no accident that my wife and I are close. It is no accident we're in love. We purposed years ago we would not let it die. We would not let it crumble. We would not let anybody else get in the way. I will not look to the right hand, nor will I look to the left. There is one woman in my life. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? Buddy, this is it. This is my portion in this life. I'm going to work at it. And it's been tough. But I made up my mind. I made up my mind that I'm going to serve God as long as I got breath in my body. You know, y'all listen to me preach a couple, three times a week, and you say, man, we know all these illustrations. We know all these stories. We know when he's going to get excited, and we know when he's not going to get excited, and we know how far he can spit, and I mean, we know everything about him. And we're just kind of tired of it, you know. Do you think you're tired of it? I listen to me three times a week for 36 years. I'm weary now into throwing up about it. I know everything I know. I've heard everything I've said. I've heard me say it over and over again. You miss some services. I had to be here for one. I'm not going to quit anyway. I just keep praying for myself that I'll get better. Ain't God good? I'm not going to quit. I've been pastoring for 35 years. You wouldn't believe all the problems I've dealt with. All the broken homes and bad marriages and infidelities and this, that, and the other, and people with money problems and people with children problems and people with drinking problems and people with pornography problems. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff I've had to listen to and endure. And boy, I think, my goodness, these folks are saved. And I got all these problems. I'm not doing one bit of good. Lord, I've been preaching all this year and I can't see where it's done nothing. I ain't quitting. I'm not going to quit. I will not quit. Some years ago, I went up to Dr. Howell's pastor school, and they had about 5,000 preachers in there, and they made us all get up. You know what they made us do? Pastor school sometimes is humiliating. I mean, they make you do things to humiliate yourself. And they made all them preachers stand up and put her hands up and said, I will not quit. I will not quit. I will not quit. You know something? I got that in my head. I will not quit. I will not quit. I'm going to be at church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And any time I can get myself up here, I'm a-coming. I come up here and we have somebody preach and they can't preach. I get a blessing out of it. I think, thank God I don't have to listen to him every week. And we get somebody here that can preach, and I say, thank God there's some folks that can still get the word out. I ain't quitting. Well, preacher, you ain't done much, and look here, you got a handful of people in this little old church. I don't care. I'm not quitting. I may end up with two or three, but I'm going to get to the finish line and say, I got this. I mean, ain't much, but I didn't quit, Lord. Be thou faithful unto death. Yes, sir. Get discouraged because people don't come. Get discouraged because people don't do. You don't see any change. You don't see improvement. Sometimes you see people going backwards instead of forward. You don't see their faithfulness. You don't see them bringing their children. They seem to be unconcerned. I will not quit. I'm going to stay married, and I'm going to stay in church. God helping me, I'm going to get them two things done if I don't get nothing else done in my lifetime. Ooh, I'm not going to get finished, am I? Well, the next point, I can skip over to the next one. It's because life is short, I will frequent the house of God. I'm coming. You know, the only friends I've got in the world come to church. Now, I got some friends at other places. They're all in church. All the friends I got around here are in church. He said, well, what about your next door neighbors? I ain't friends with none of them. What about them fellas at work? I ain't friends with none of them. We're polite. I don't know them or that I'm ugly to them or anything, but I don't have anything in common with them. I go to work tomorrow, And I walk back there, and here's all them boys that's been out. They got their paycheck. We get paid on Friday. They get their check on Thursday night because they're broke. And they'll come to work in the morning, they'll be broke. And they'll have to borrow money to eat lunch all week. And they'll talk about what a good time they had. They back there the other day, boy, they was just having a time. They watched some thing on that Ultimate Fight thing. Now, I don't know how Christians watch that. If your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to take care of it. How can you watch two fellas get in a ring and beat hell out of each other? I don't get it. But anyway, they had this thing. You could buy pay-per-view to watch this Ultimate Fight thing. It was like $100. $100 to watch these two guys beat their brains out. And they was talking about what a great fight it was. I said, you paid $100 to watch two guys beat each other up? Oh, no! Said, four of us got to get there. It only cost us $25 a piece. Oh, that's how much you're borrowing so you can eat lunch the rest of the week, right? It's just stupid, man. Anyway, I'm going to stay in the house of God. I'm going to have to skip some of these because my time is up. Let me scan this quickly. Oh, man, I hate to leave that stuff out. Y'all got another 30 minutes? Nah. Let me tell you what they were. Because life is short, I will be a witness to all. Because life is short, I will be thankful. Amen. Because life is short, I will look for His coming. Because life is short, I will reflect on the day of my death. Could be today. Because life is short, I will remember that the judgment seat of Christ is before me. Because life is short, I will be faithful unto death. Yeah. I like what Paul said. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. I want that crown. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that? When life is over, and we go to live in the presence of God Himself, and we are there to receive the recognition and the rewards for the service that we rendered, don't you want to hear Him say, well done? Those are the most two coveted words in my vocabulary. Well done. I'm not interested in people saying, preacher, you built the biggest church in South Carolina, or you had the greatest work. What I really want to hear is I want to hear Jesus Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful. Because life is short. It's going to be over soon. All I got to do is just hang on a little bit longer. Won't be long. Life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little season and vanisheth away. If I can just hang on a little longer, I'll make it. I'm not going to throw in the towel. Got too much behind me. If I can just hang on a little longer, I'm not talking about our salvation now. That's fixed. I want you to understand that. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about those rewards and to hear my Savior say, well done. I will not quit. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. I pray, oh God.